This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. And we welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining us today on the WPGM Community Forum as we speak with the Journey to Justice founder, Lynn Fiedler. She heads up this grassroots movement that grew out of the elder abuse of 17 individuals at a memory care facility in Lewisburg. And among them was her own mother. Lynn Fiedler is with us to talk about the organization, what their goals are, and how you can become part of this growing, quickly growing, in fact, organization. Lynn, thanks for being with us. Let's begin with some of that background.
May 1st, 2023 is when I found out that my mother was the victim of horrific elder abuse in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, at a facility there. She and 16 others. So at that time, after recovering, I guess you could say, from the trauma and the shock of that, I decided that I could do one of two things. I could wait until the criminal trials were over and walk away, or I could do what my parents taught me to do, which was stand up and when something is wrong, stand up and try to make it right. So that's what I did. So Journey to Justice began when I decided that I was going to do something about the current situation of very little laws in place to protect the elder population. So it began as one voice, mine, and then people rallied around me. We became known as Alice's Army. My mother's name is Alice. And then it just continued to grow, and we became Journey to Justice. In February of 2025, we became a nonprofit, and we have now grown to hundreds and hundreds of people who are supporting us in one way or another. So like I said, we are a nonprofit now, and we have a board of directors and, the whole nine yards. We have three branches to Journey to Justice. We have an education branch. I've been a lifelong educator my entire life, and my philosophy and my belief is that education is the key to helping to improve the situation that the older population faces. So we have three branches to Journey to Justice. We have an education branch. We've developed two curriculums. We have one for healthcare professionals and one for the community at large. So we go out and we do elder abuse trainings and how to prevent elder abuse in local care facilities, nursing facilities, long-term care facilities. So that's one thing that we do. And then our other curriculum is for the community at large. We just recently spoke at Susquehanna University at the Institute for Lifelong Learning. We just did another presentation for community at the Messiah Evangelical Lutheran Church. We're doing another one for the Catholic Church, and we do community groups. The other branch is our beneficiary donation branch. What we do there is we are a nonprofit, so we do fundraising, and every single penny that we raise goes back to helping improve the condition of the older population. So we just recently did a donation to Penn Manor in Sealance Grove. We donated 10 dementia-friendly clocks and a music program. We also have beautiful music boxes that we just had a very generous donation made. So we have plans in the future to do future things, and we have a lot of different types of things that we can do to help, again, improve the lives of the older population. Okay. And our third branch is a legislative branch. I'm currently working with Senator Linda Culver. We have a bill that is going to be named Alice's Law that is going to hopefully be presented by 2026. There's a lot to be done in the area of prevention and as far as helping to protect the elder population. I was not aware of how little protections there are in place for elders.
I was going to say, I think a lot of people, just upon hearing these stories a couple of years ago, that had to be a wake-up call for a lot of people. I mean, something like this, you know, it's like your work cut out for you, because I don't think a lot of people probably had put much thought to that.
Exactly. And I was ignorant to it as well. The people who abused my mother were convicted of 34 counts of elder abuse, and all of them were considered misdemeanors. So that certainly has to change. That certainly has to change. And there also has to be prevention of people who do abuse so that they can no longer work with care-dependent people ever again. So we're working on those things. There's a lot to be done in the area of older population. There's protections that need to be put into place that aren't there currently.
In working with Linda Culver, I mean, have you kind of gotten a feel for why it is this way? I mean, it just seemed, when you said misdemeanors for this, it kind of blows my mind.
Exactly. It all has to do with language, the language that the laws currently have. And they've never been changed. So it's time to stand up and say, whoa, 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 we need some changes here. These people need protection because they are care dependent, just as children are. Had these perpetrators done what they did to these 17 individuals at the elder level to children, they would have been looking at felonies. So that needs to change because these people are also care dependent as well as children are.
At what point did you go from, this is horrible in my life, to I'm going to attack this problem?
It didn't really take me very long because it was my mother and it was 16 others. I've spent my life as an advocate. I've just always been advocating at the other end of the spectrum for children. So now I'm an advocate at the other end of the spectrum for the older population. And what's important is, you know, accountability, responsibility. Like I said, I was raised that if you make a mistake, if you do something, you are held accountable for it. And at this point, people aren't. So it needs to change. So that's why I'm an advocate for this.
You certainly saw the need that was at least being addressed with kids, but this was just not on people's radar.
Absolutely not. No, it's not. And what is important here is these people are voiceless. My mother at the time of her abuse was nonverbal. Many of these people simply have no advocates and they themselves are voiceless. So we need to step up and be their voice. We as a society, we value old things, don't we? We value museums, we value old paintings, we value old antiques, old cars. So why aren't we valuing our older population and doing all that we can to protect them and spend billions of dollars, I'm sure, on restoration of old things, but we don't on our older population, and that needs to change.
I know as a teenager, I delivered newspapers, and I delivered to a couple of nursing homes, and I always found it disturbing, almost the condescension that the people were being treated with. Is that kind of where it begins, that they need to address just the whole attitude?
And that's where we come in. Education is key. So we are going into facilities and training healthcare professionals. We are also working with Harrisburg Area Community College, Londa Bennett, and we go in and we train, help her to train, and we do the abuse piece for her nurse aid program. So we're getting these people as soon as they are coming out fresh into the world of elder care and educating them as to this is what dementia is, this is what it looks like, this is how it presents, this is how you approach people with dementia, this is how you deal with the behaviors that you see in dementia, because they need to see the person as a whole person, not just the dementia. What you're seeing when you go into facilities where dementia people live, you're seeing the disease of dementia. You are not seeing the whole person. You need to see the whole person. And you need to step into their world, meet them where they are. And you need to be trained to do that.
Is the legal aspects of this in Pennsylvania law, is that common across the country? Or is Pennsylvania maybe behind the curve?
I'm not familiar with every single state. But it is definitely an area that needs to be addressed nationally, not just in Pennsylvania. We're starting in Pennsylvania. My hope, of course, is that if people sit up and notice Pennsylvania, then other places are going to change as well.
Give me some idea of just the week to week kind of work? Do you have like a regular meeting? Do you kind of stay in touch with people? If there's hundreds involved, I guess you can't stay in touch with them all every week.
No, I don't. We stay in touch very, very. I keep the Facebook page very current. I have a huge list of email addresses where I send out like a little newsletter type thing. We are in the media a lot, which is a very, very good thing to keep people aware. We do have a board, which we meet, and that's the way we keep people informed. We welcome any newcomers. Please check our Facebook page and reach out to us, because we do need people on the ground. You know, it's my partner, Kim Regal, and I. She's a registered nurse and with a specialty in gerontology. She and I do the trainings, but we really need people to do the other things, like fundraising, sending out thank you notes, just the general day-to-day. My husband jokes that I'm retired. Well, I am retired from public education, kind of, sort of, but now this is my passion, and this is, you know, it's a need, and it needs to be addressed. And like I said, I've spent my whole life in service, as has my husband, my children. I mean, we just, that's what our family does. And I have 5 granddaughters. I want them to see that when there's something wrong, you stand up, you use your voice, and you do what you can to make it right.
Okay. So certainly the people out there with empathy, mm-hmm. even if they don't have the ability to train people, they just being part of it is a big help.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know if you noticed that I have this shirt on. And this is a big thing that people can do. Get a shirt, wear it. It stimulates conversation. And then I tell my students when we speak and do trainings that I was the pebble, and then the ripples are going out. So every time we speak to a group, we tell them, we're the pebble, today you're the ripples. Now we want you to go out and be the pebble and spread the ripples. So wear a shirt. It stimulates conversation. People will say, oh, what's that about? And then you have spread some more ripples, made people aware. They look us up. They know where we are, what we do. They invite us in, and then we can educate more people and let other people know. It's a very important, because God willing, we're all going to get old. What kind of people do you want taking care of you? That's what we do. And what kind of laws do you want in place to protect you?
What would you say is your biggest hope for the organization? Down the road, a year, 5 years, 10 years, what would you like to see it become?
Well, I would like to see it continue to grow. We are looking at, people have reached out to us to have satellite groups. I would like to see Journey to Justice, not just in the central Susquehanna Valley. I'd like to see it spread over Pennsylvania. Our shirts and we call them ambassadors, people who speak to our mission, are in Virginia, Pennsylvania, Texas, Wisconsin, Tennessee, Minnesota, and I might be missing one. So we are in 6 or 7, Florida. We're in 6 or 7 states now with people that wear their shirts and spread our word. What I would like to see, I invite younger people. Okay, I am retired. And the people who are doing the most work in our organization are in the same boat. I would like to invite younger people to take this over, because in 5 years from now, I'm hoping that I can turn it over to a new set of people and they can continue to continue with this. It's an important, it needs to continue and it needs to grow.
Seems like that may not be as big of a challenge as for some organizations, because this is something that, you know, regardless of what age you are, you're going to have parents that age. You're going to be that age.
Absolutely. I really am astounded, seriously. One of our board members has worked with nonprofits for her whole life, and she said, I've never seen a nonprofit take off like this one. And my response is, well, I think it's because this one, people can recognize this may affect them, and it affects your parents, your grandparents, your neighbor, your brother. You know, this affects so many people, and I think people see the importance of it. One of my big goals, of course, is to get Alice's law passed.
Okay.
And the law's changed.
How can I get people your direction for more information aside from the Facebook page, and if someone is interested in the shirt and being one of those pebbles?
Well, the Facebook page is the best place, but we also have an email. It's journeytojustice23@gmail.com.
journeytojustice23@gmail.com. And that's the word two, not the number two. Journey to
right.
Justice.
Journey okay. T-O, Justice 23. And it's 23 because that's when the abuse was in 2023. So journeytojustice23@gmail.com.
Okay, or you can check out the Facebook page and
Journey to Justice Facebook page.
Get involved there, and I assume the shirt would be available through the page too.
Yeah. Okay.
Lynn Fiedler has been our guest today on the WPGM Community Forum. She's the founder and head of Journey to Justice, this organization working to protect older adults. We thank you for joining us on the program, Lynn, and we thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.